an interesting title to that song, very much similar to the title of our lesson tonight, but a different type of garden, one that's described in the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs, in chapter 24, a short little section of Proverbs will be our focus tonight as we take a text from the book of Proverbs, which we overviewed 2 weeks ago. It'll be in Proverbs chapter 24, beginning in verse 30. As you know, the book of Proverbs is filled with practical advice on almost every subject that we might possibly imagine. What a practical book it truly is. One topic that's emphasized is the importance of diligent work, hard work. The opposite of that is laziness or slothfulness, is a term used quite often in the book. Laziness is severely condemned in several places throughout this practical book containing very much wisdom. And a key passage on this is the lesson text for tonight. I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard of the man lacking sense. And behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber and your want like an armed man. If we have an observant eye, there are not many things in nature and in God's creation that we can't look at and consider and learn some type of lesson from which would be important for our use. We can learn from things that we see, things that we hear. We can learn from good things. We can learn from evil things in this life. The wise learn from everything that comes within their reach, much as Solomon did during his lifetime. Solomon provides us the example of looking at something that an ordinary person would immediately dismiss and shrug off as unimportant in seeing a vineyard that had been shamefully neglected. Turning away from it and deciding that there's no profit in this to my mind. But Solomon was different. He reflected upon it and received instruction. Let's think about the potential of this vineyard, this garden that was neglected. The man failed in his efforts to make this garden something successful, not for several reasons. Not because he had no garden in which to work, because he certainly did. You and I don't fail because God gives us no place in this life to work and to cultivate spiritual things and to produce fruit for the kingdom. Not that God gave other men a chance and gave me no chance whatsoever. Every man is born into the world with his own garden spot, so to speak. And we may do with that what we will. The garden spot is himself, his undeveloped character, his ungrown personality, his unsharpened skills and talents. Each one has a garden and can do with it what he will. Each one has a life and can spend it up in the way that he chooses, whether for good or for evil. The man failed in the garden not because the soil was bad. Soil that will grow weeds can grow flowers. and vegetables as well. There is within each one of us a very great potential for doing good in this life and influencing other people by the good that we do. There is also a great potential within everyone for doing evil. Any garden that will grow rank weeds and thorns will also grow wheat and corn and flowers. Any man with large capacities in him for doing evil may turn around and have large capacities in him for doing good. The testimony of many Christians bears this out. As they speak of their past life and how they wasted it, but how now they're living for God and what a great example they truly are. The sluggard who had this neglected garden did not fail because God failed to send rain and sunshine his way. Weeds require rain and sunshine just like flowers and vegetables do. God does not fail us in what he gives us to start with in this life. We fail ourselves. God has done his part. God sent the warmth of the sun on the garden, the moisture of the rain, and the fertility of the soil, which can make thorns grow just as good as vegetables. The man didn't fail because he could not keep animals out of his garden. He had a stone wall to keep animals out, but had allowed that wall to fall down. We cannot blame society. We cannot blame our parents. We cannot blame the church if we are not what we should be in this life. We can only blame ourselves. It is true that he was to grow his crop in a world where there were many enemies, many animals to go into his garden and eat the fruit off the plants. But he had allowed the stone wall to fall down. He might have kept it up, but he allowed it to fall. His enemies did not prevent his making a success. And if you will, you can fence your life in such a way that you can keep enemies of goodness out and keep the goodness in. You can make of your life what you will, but you must set up defenses to protect what is valuable. Not even God can break down the walls to get into your garden if you object to his coming in. We must not shut him out. He did not fail because he could not. He failed because he would not. The potential was there. He failed because of his laziness. He chose not to work. He's called the sluggard in the text. Laziness kept him from making the crop. Laziness produced in his garden this harvest of noxious weeds. He decided that he would raise nothing at all, that he would not be aggressively good, that he would not be a positive contributor, and in so doing that, he ended up maybe not the way he planned, but he ended up being aggressively bad. He found, as all men find, that it is impossible to neglect the good and expect no bad to come our way. The only power that can keep evil out of your life today is by doing good. And if you are not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh, you must walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5 and verse 16, we're admonished by Paul the Apostle in the Galatian letter to walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. He who is not with me, Jesus said in Matthew 12 and verse 30, is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. It's not enough just to decide that we will not do good, that is not enough to keep the evil out of our lives. Refuse to cultivate your garden and weeds will grow there without any effort whatsoever on your part. It takes no positive effort to lead a wrong life, a useless life, a destructive life, a worthless life. And a man who begins by the cultivation of no right crop in his life always ends by the harvesting of a wrong crop in his life. Most of the time, it's unexpected. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be lost? Simply nothing. Consider the shameful neglect of this garden. The record says, this is a man who is a sluggard, but it also says of him that he lacks sense. The man had a tremendous potential, but he neglected that potential. He raised no crop. He made no positive contribution to life. He did raise something, thistles and nettles. He made life harder for himself and harder for others by not raising what was good. He destroyed his soul. He became a man lacking in sense. What about our potential? What about the garden that God has given each of us? Have we neglected it? Are we lacking sense, according to the wise man? God expects us to be busy, to work to our advantage the things that are good and righteous in this life. Let's consider some passages from the Bible on this very point. In Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might, for there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you are going. There's none in the grave. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. Blessed is the slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes, Jesus in Matthew 24 and verse 46, in reference to being faithful in a work for him. John 9 and verse 4, we must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can work, Jesus told his closest disciples. Galatians 5 and verse 6, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything but faith working through love. Also in Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 9, let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Ephesians 4 and verse 28, he who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Colossians 3 and verse 23, whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord, rather than for men. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10, for even when we were with you, we used to give you this order, if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 18, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Many passages emphasizing the importance of our role as workers in this life, doing the things that are good, and how beneficial and important that is. When we fail to follow God's instructions in this matter because of neglect, some bad things happen, though. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was spoken first through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. In that passage, you see the seriousness of neglecting spiritual things. that have to do with salvation that is made available to all men. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 14, do not neglect the spiritual gift that is within you, Paul told Timothy. Don't neglect it. Use it for good is the idea. Use it in a way that builds up God's people. Use it in a way that builds your own faith and strengthens your own faith. How very important that is. Neglect will keep us from doing what we should do and also in being what we should be. Our neglect may affect others adversely as they see us neglect things that are important. Our influence may rub off on them. We may influence them to have a weaker faith than they would have if they did not see us being strong and exercising ourselves toward that which is good. Ultimately, neglect will destroy our souls if we allow it to remain. Consider the awful result of this neglected garden. Because of laziness and neglect, the man was a failure in life. The sluggard, the man lacking sense, Solomon describes that person. And at the end of the text, he says, your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man. He's headed for bad things, isn't he? All of us want to succeed, but success really won't be found on the clearance rack. Success will be something that we must pursue, and it takes very much effort. And that's why in so many places in the Scriptures, we have the admonitions to be diligent or to be diligently involved in something for our good and for the good of others. For example, in Hebrews 6, verses 11 and 12, and we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope unto the end. It is important for Christians to be diligent in spiritual things, to keep hope alive in themselves and also in their brothers and sisters. Notice that in that passage, Hebrews 6, 11 and 12, when he says, show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope unto the end, notice what he says next in verse 12. So that you will not be sluggish as the sluggard in our text, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. There's the good result. Now notice in another passage that we'll consider on this point what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 beginning in verse 5. We're talking about how the Scriptures emphasize diligence and how important that is in our lives. In 2 Peter 1, beginning in verse 5, now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, as they would if you were being diligent, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If we are diligent, being a sluggard and being a man of no sense will be so far away from us, we'll not even recognize its traces in our lives. We'll be diligent for those things that are good, and if we are, Peter goes on to say, and describe the glorious entrance into the eternal kingdom that will be ours, and we will never fall. What a great assurance and confidence builder that is for the Christian. Most who fail will not fail because they decided to, they won't fail because they decided to fail or because they desire to fail, but they will fail because they neglected things that were very important in their lives. It's easier to do little or nothing than it is to work and put forth the diligence for success. Admonition after admonition in the pages of God's Word to be diligent and to keep our focus in the right direction. It's easy to do little or nothing. It's not so easy to work for success. You know, if you had a piece of machinery that you used in your personal shop or in your work in some way, and you neglected it, you failed to take care of it, you failed to keep it clean, you failed to keep it lubricated, you failed to change the oil in your car, you failed to properly inflate your tires on your automobile. When you just give up those things and neglect those things, then what happens? That piece of machinery will eventually fall apart, and it will not be profitable for you any longer. If you neglect your marriage, if you don't do the things that are important as a husband, the head of the family, as a wife in the family, the mother of children, if you don't do those things that are important and you don't give your attention to them and you're not diligent in those, what will happen to your marriage? Many marriages crumble as a result just of pure neglect. If you neglect a child in properly raising that child, in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and you let that child make decisions in life when they are immature and not capable of making decisions, but through your neglect, you fail to provide the proper guidance and the proper training and the proper instruction for them, what will happen to them in their lives? Proverbs 29 and verse 15 says, "A child who gets his own way bring shame to his mother." And that's true. We neglect our children, they will end up breaking our hearts and breaking God's hearts as well. You see how neglect can stain every area of life if we let it. We must not let it. There was a Detroit man who couldn't find his house one time. He had gone to the right address, but all he found there was an empty lot. He was completely baffled. So he went to the newspaper office to see if he could find some help and to figure out what was going on and why his house was no longer where he thought it should be. And a reporter learned that not only was the house gone, but the deed to the property was in someone else's name. What in the world happened to his house? For one thing, a few years had passed since the homeowner left that address without leaving a forwarding address. In addition, he had failed to make arrangements for someone to care for his property while he was away. So the house was torn down because a city ordinance called for the removal of neighborhood eyesores. He didn't have a house anymore. His property was sold. The homeowner's neglect illustrates the practical truth of Proverbs 24, 30 through 34. Neglect leads to loss. This principle also applies certainly to our daily walk with God. If we neglect our times of prayer, our times of Bible study, our times of worship, our times of fellowship with the Lord and with our brothers and sisters in Christ, our relationship with God will deteriorate, and we will no longer experience God's favor. We would never want that to happen to us, but we allow it to happen to us when we become preoccupied with things in this life and neglect our spiritual lives. allowing our lives to become preoccupied with anything that takes precedent over God and His Word. The thistles and thorns and nettles of self-interest will grow naturally within me, while the fruit that pleases God, that requires constant weeding and watering through prayer and confession and obedience to the Lord, what will happen? Without these, the soil of my heart will become choked with the thorns of trivial pursuits in this life, and even greed. We must not neglect the garden that God has given us. And Solomon points us to a great illustration to show us how that we will become people of poverty if we neglect the garden that God has given us. And what a great lesson that is for anyone today. If you're in our assembly and you've come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you will do whatever He commands you to do. We can show you today that in His Word He commands you as a believer to repent of your sins, to confess Him before men, to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, to become a Christian, to take advantage of the blood that He spilled on the cross to save you from the consequences and the penalty of your sin. When you are lowered in baptism and raised up out of that pool of water, you can walk in newness of life in Romans 6. Having a new life, a new direction. The old things are done away. The old man is dead. The new man is alive and real. We can help you with that this very day if that's your desire. We can help you in another way. We'll pray with you and pray for you and help you to walk closer to God when you leave this building than when you first came in. If that's your desire, please come and let us know how we may help you while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song.